And I want to ask you a favor. I'm in a journey now to change your way of thinking. I can do that, but I'm counting on the Holy Spirit to do it. And my boss has instructed me to work on this. What's wrong with my way of thinking? Nothing is wrong. Just distorted. Many things that we think the way that we think because we were trained, we were raised thinking that way. And many of us come to adulthood thinking a distorted way. I was talking to somebody recently, and we wanted to have a service on Friday, and it fell in a 13. The person said, "Oh my God." So what? It's Friday the 13th. And? You know. I said, "No." And? Nothing. "You don't understand." "No, I don't. I'm a little, according to your statement, I'm a little on the dumb side. Can you fill me in?" "What's wrong?" "Nothing, nothing." "What is wrong?" "Nothing." "So why?" "Oh my God." "You know." I said, "No, I don't." "Well, people say that Friday the 13th, you know, you. I said, "What?" "May I lead you to Jesus?" "Oh, I am saved and filled with the Holy Ghost." I said, "No, you're not. How dare you?" I said, "Sweetheart, people who are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost have no fear of Friday the 13th or the 33rd or the 63rd, whatever it is." You know, you come from a different culture. So thank God. This is pathetic, ridiculous, and stupid, not to call it idiotic. Now tell them, you don't walk underneath a ladder. "No. No. Are you serious? Lord, have mercy." So today, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to change your mind concerning some other stuff. And when I tell you the title of my meditation tonight, you will understand what I want to say. The title of my meditation tonight is "The Benefits of Perseverance." None of us like to go through hard times. Is that correct? For some odd reason, I don't know where we get that. We are expecting that life will be a garden at all times. That nothing wrong is going to happen to us. Do you know how many people I have met on my career as a preacher that will come to me, "Pastor, can you please pray for me? Pray for me." "What's the matter?" "Can you pray that God will help nothing wrong happen to me?" I said, "What?" "Yes, can you pray that God will help me not to get sick?" Are you with me here? And then I'm thinking, where did you get that kind of lousy thinking? When it comes to hardship, people can hardly think about hardship as something positive. Are you with me? But did you know that God has designed for some hardship to take place in our lives so that He can shape us? Amen. Have you ever woken up one day and you have a craving to eat bananas? Anybody here? Well, praise God, somebody did. You know what that means? Your body was low in potassium that day. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
God has created difficulties for the life of the believers. Let me rephrase myself. God has allowed difficulties to come to our lives in order to mold us. I don't believe on that. That's your business. It's still in the Bible. Whether you believe it or not, it makes no difference. But let me state my case with the scripture. It's no use for me to be telling you so many stuff here and I can't prove. Brother Harry, may I please have James 1:12? I want you to read this with me. I have to take you through a few things in here. Read it with me. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There is a blessing in perseverance. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
When we are under fire, over here is under trial, our first reaction is go around town hunting for a prophet to pray for us or to give us a word. Can I have an amen here?
Amen.
If I would have a prophet here, I guarantee you, especially if it was a renowned prophet, this place would be packed. Because people don't want to be under trial, don't want to be under fire. Everybody wants life to be always smooth and sweet. But the problem with this is that Jesus said, in this world you shall have afflictions. And they are desired. There's a purpose why people go under trial. James is saying, you are blessed when you are under trial and persevere. What is the blessing on this? You're gonna show what you are made of. Are you with me here?
Yes.
We were just talking, me and a preacher, this evening. I got an invitation to be a pastor of a church in California. I said, I'd love it. Around the LA area? I'd love it. But my boss don't want me out of here. Sorry. I even said, Lord, can I go? Huh. Just trying. I couldn't be away from here, you know that. But while we were talking about exactly about this. How people many times have the opportunity to go through a difficult time and we are running away from it. People, you leave churches, go to another church because there's a hard time coming through and they don't want to face the trial. Anybody here know somebody like this? You know what I'm talking about? So what you're saying, preacher? The Bible says that when a trial comes our way, it is a blessing. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. In another word, hardship or a trial supposed to work as a test to show what you and I are made of. And once we go through this, I think we can, figuratively speaking, slap the devil in his face. God can look at him and say, look, you punk. Despite all the pressure, they're holding fast to their faith and to their integrity. Watch this. Brother Harry, may I please have this on the New Living Translation? God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. There is a blessing for those who persevere, those who are under trial. There is a blessing for those who endure hardship. It's a way that God uses to mold us. You're following me so far, right?
Yes.
Now say to your neighbor, thank God for our trials. Tell your neighbor.
Thank God for our trials.
It's a little crazy, but I want you to listen to this same scripture in the backslider translation. Don't get bent out of shape. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. So what you're saying, preacher, you know, when the hard time comes, when the difficult comes, face it head on. Don't run away from it. I used to say when I was fresh out of university that every time that we come through hardship, if we face it and stand it, is a simple way to show the devil that our love for God is bigger than anything he can bring our way. Hallelujah. Be with me, right?
Yes.
So folks, the change that I'm asking you today to do is look at hardship in a different way. It is actually a blessing. Are you with me here?
Yes.
That means that the area that you're going to face trouble right now, hardship, is an area that needs work.
Yes.
Are you with me so far?
Yes.
I have a weak area, a weak spot. And here and there, God just let me be grilled so that I can show God that I love Him more than anything else. If there's something that causes me to speak in another tongue, is when I'm driving out of here and those blessed of the Lord come out from their complex texting just into traffic right in front of me. If I blink the light, they smack on the brake, and then I have to smack on the brake, almost hitting my face against the windshield. Oh, I love that. I love it. Are you with me here?
Yes.
But that kind of stuff produces endurance.
Amen.
So now, to hit that punk back, when he does that, I said, Lord, I pray for the salvation of this drive ahead of me. In the name of Jesus, I bind this drive into the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, I forbid Satan from taking this soul and his whole household, or her whole household. When they start praying like this, it starts diminishing. It starts diminishing. So instead of fleeing from the hardship, face it head on. Because there is a blessing. When we meet the challenge, there is a blessing. And there is a reward coming from God.
Amen.
We are still on the same page, right?
Yes.
Preacher, sometimes you may say, when things like this happens, it's difficult even to stand firm. It's difficult to glorify God in this. Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58 the following words. Would you care to read it with me? Therefore, my dear brothers, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hardship should not cause us to move. Hardship should not cause the spiritual needle to go backwards. It's rather designed to cause you and I to stand firm. Because, you know, at the end of the day, nothing should be able to cause us to lose our steadfastness with God.
Amen.
Brother Harry, it's not on that scripture. It's not on that list. Can you look for me for Romans chapter 8? Starting on verse 39. Give me the backslider translation. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Well, this is good. Let's go back to verses. This is already on the guys over here get excited about this. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. It does not matter how hard the things that are hitting us right now may be. None of that stuff phases us. Are you with me here? Now listen to verse 38. I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of what? The way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. So whenever the difficult time comes, whenever the hard time comes, it's time for us to face it head on. So let's change that mentality of running, moving church, moving out of town. I guarantee you one thing, folks. Whenever you're running from a problem in one church, the next church you go will have twice as much. Then you go out from that church, the next one's going to be three times as much. Now, if you are in a church that does not teach biblical principles, that's a different story. Then you better get out of there. Are you with me here?
Yes.
But one thing that we should always remember is that when the hardship comes over our lives, is to teach us to face it head on, is to teach us to stand firm, is to help us to understand that nothing that the devil may throw our way shall be able to separate us.
Amen.
For this relationship we have with God. Amen. When the stuff comes our way, it's because God wants us to prove to that punk that we're going to stand firm.
Amen.
No matter what he throws,
yes,
our way. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, we find this scripture here. Watch this. It is Revelation 3:11. Read it with me. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have. I mean, come on, let's be real here. I had to change my number because there was a fella in Pennsylvania that no church in the holy state of Pennsylvania was good. I think if that man had not been around while Pastor John McCall was here, Pastor John McCall would have lived two extra years. Is that kind of tick Christian or bat Christian that will suck the blood out of people? So, he calls. Yes, brother. Can you pray for me? And then you have a list with 55 prayer requests. So one day I kind of said, man, this is messed up. I said, have you spoken to your pastor? Which pastor? You are my pastor. No, I'm not. Yes, you are my pastor. Said, no, I am not. I attend your church. I said, no, you don't. You come here when the Scriveners come here. And some other big name. Don't even go there, brother. Well, you know, I wish there was a church like yours around here, but there's none. So what do you do? Well, I stay home. And I watch Kenneth Copeland. I say, what? And you are wearing me out with your nonsense way of life. Don't call back here until you join a church. Well, Pastor John, I don't want to hear about Pastor John. Don't even go there. So he started coming. Every other week he would drive hour and a half to attend here. I said, dude, It ain't gonna work. Excuse me? It's not going to work. I don't like them up there. I said, well, let me say something here. I can believe that every single Christian where you're at is so bad. You might be a little mistaken, and if you don't like them while you're down here, you're going to have a trouble to live with them up there whenever Jesus Christ comes. What about if Jesus takes them? And let's say that you will make it. Oh, I will make. Okay, then. And they will make too. How are you going to deal with this? You don't like them. And that's going to be eternity. What is your problem? I don't have a problem. You got a problem. I said, dude, can you call me brother? It's okay, brother, dude. You got to change your way of thinking, man. You know, every time I go to those church up there, I get in trouble. Really? I'm telling you. I said, don't call back here because I'm not praying for you until you find a church. Fine. He left. Within 3 months, he got prostate cancer. Pastor Paul, I know that you say you don't want to pray for me. I went to visit the church here. I said, dude, don't even go there. Please, let me finish talking, please. What is it? The doctor said I have prostate cancer. So good. What do you mean good? What are you going to do about it? Well, I'll call you to pray for me. I said, that's not going to do it. Yes, it does. It will. You are men of faith. I said, I lost all my faith. So after a lot of mumbling, he said, I promise you, I'm going to find a church this week. So we prayed for him. 3 weeks later, he called back to give the report. They ran the test and the cancer was gone. Instead of looking for a church, he went out and looked for a girlfriend that already had a kid, and get the woman impregnated without being married. I told him, so much, huh? I should have not prayed for you. You don't say that. You know, we are planning to get married. I don't care. You right now have a little bastard coming on the way because he's a child out of wedlock. And you know the truth. Well, I'm going to get married. What is the problem now? I need another job. What happened now? Did you lose your job? No. But now I have a wife and a child on the way. I need more money. You following what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
It's a pattern. God gave you your blessing, and then you lose it because of your twisted way of thinking. Jesus is saying, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Don't let your blessing be stolen away because of the way that you think. Are you with me here? Hardship came. Face it head on. That may be the very, very, very part of your spiritual life where you need some work. You know, when you go through an accident, doctors send you to therapy, right? And the therapy is usually done on the part that was affected. Is that correct?
Yes.
If somebody had here a problem with their stomach and you go to see a physician, they're not going to give you a medicine for your ears, will he? He will target the part of the body that is affected. The purpose of hardship or trials or whatever you want to call it, or tribulation, is God wants us to stand firm on the faith. And that happens through the act that hardship will produce in us perseverance, will produce in us endurance. It will work those spiritual muscles that are weak and need to be fixed. And this is why Jesus said, hold on. Hold on to what you got. So no one will steal your crown. Reach out to somebody and say, I'm holding on to my faith and to my miracle.
I'm holding on to my faith and my miracle.
When you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, the Apostle Paul said something very interesting to Timothy. Oh my. Good grief. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and gentleness. What's the point? Endurance is something that you and I are supposed to be pursuing. Perseverance, endurance, is something that you and I are supposed to be seeking after. Why? Because it works our spiritual muscles and help to develop us spiritually to be more into the likeness of Jesus. Colossians 3:11 also says something interesting about endurance. Listen to this. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all in all. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Read it with me. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. Isn't that something? You may be asking, I still don't get the point you're trying to make. Perseverance is something that comes from the heart. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Perseverance is something that comes from the heart. Do you know people that once they try to do something and it doesn't quite work the way that they want, they give up right away?
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Folks, no matter how tough things may be, no matter how hard the situation may be, God knows it all. God knows what you're going through. And if God has allowed the tough time to come, it's because God wants to work our spiritual muscles. Paul also said in Corinthians that God's not going to allow you to be pushed more than what you can handle. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So let us look at hardship, at trials, in a different way. When you look at, for example, Revelation 2:3, Jesus has some interesting words for all of us. Read it with me. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. What an encouraging word coming from the lips of the Master, right? But that's the whole idea of hardship. It's supposed to create in us that attitude of perseverance and endurance, right? Supposed to give us that strength not to grow weary. You keep saying the same thing. So what is the point? Let's face hardship head on instead of running away from it.
Hallelujah.
You with me? Instead of running away from it, let's face it head on. Just like somebody says, but I don't like it. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. It will come anyway.
Amen.
So we may as well change our hearts and face it and get over with it and get ready for the next one. I don't want the next one. It will come. You don't have a say on this. Even if everything would be perfect, there is a punk, a low life, a good for nothing, useless piece of garbage out there called devil. He's going to be throwing things at your way. So we face it heads on. Let's frustrate him. Let's frustrate him. I said something here recently, some of you didn't get it. We had a guest in here. And one of the prayers that I made on Tuesday morning, I suggest for you, when you pray, I bind the spirit of sickness and I send it back right to the devil. Get attached to the devil. And you're not allowed to lose him until the day of judgment. A precious soul from Virginia Beach was here. He said, "Preacher, you pray, you sure crazy." I said, "What? You pray? You're telling me to tell the sickness to go back and attach itself to the devil?" I said, "That's right. He sent her away, right?" "Right. Then send it back to him. With a difference. He cannot call upon the name of Jesus to get the thing out of him. But you can send it to him in the name of Jesus and it won't lose him." "You sure is crazy." Well, she left a voice message here said, "Pastor Paul, I am the sister from West Virginia that has the ministry in Virginia Beach. I'm the cowboy. I was at your church and you said for us to send the sickness, the spirit of sickness, to attach to the devil." She said, "Since I start praying this in the church, I ain't got no sick people in my church." Folks, let's not run away from this, you know. Instead of running away from hardship, we're going to face it head on in the name of Jesus. We're going to send it back where it came from. If God is allowing you and I to go through this hardship, God wants to flex our spiritual muscles. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
What's the conclusion, preacher? Instead of being bent out of shape when the hardship comes, the Word of God tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and verse 9, and I'm wrapping up, the following words. Read it with me. Be. Let's stop here. Be self-controlled and alert. What? Yes. That punk is gonna throw things your way to cause you to lose control, to cause you to lose your cool. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
And many of us are not on the alert. We get bam, hit. And then we go right back. He's jumping for joy. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Now we gotta be on the self-control mode and alert mode. Why? He goes on to say, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So what do? Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So what's the conclusion, preacher? Whenever the difficult time comes, face it head on and heads up. I have heard so many times people say something stupid. The Bible says that the devil is like a lion. Yeah. He's pretended to be a lion. He's roaring like a lion. There is only one lion that we fear, is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's it. Anything else are cat without tooth. He's going to be throwing things our way to cause you and I to lose our cool. But he says in here, resist him. So, what do you mean? Face it head on. Face it in the name of Jesus. Get him frustrated.
Yes.
Get him frustrated.
Yes, Lord.
What? Yeah. He's not a lion. He's pretending to be a lion. Amen. Brother Harry, can you put this thing on the backslider translation? Watch this. It's a little crazy, but watch this. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. So keep a firm grip on the faith. Are you with me here? So whenever the hard time comes, stay alert and keep a cool head. I had the displeasure to be somewhere this week. And we are just getting ready to pull in to fill up the tank. And that was at Sam's Club. So this blessed soul who is behind me sped, caught in front of somebody just to park in front of me because there was only one pump available. So I said, well, let's play. I'm driving a BMW. And you're driving a lousy Corolla. Give me a break. By the way, no offense for those who drive Corollas. Please. And then I hit on the gas. I got in first. When I got out, she comes. Before she says anything, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Leave my sister alone. She goes, oh my God. Jump on the car, turn around and went behind me. Are you with me here? Stay alert. Keep a cool head. You think I'm going to let you cuss me out in there and start an argument? I bind you in the name of Jesus. Leave my sister alone.
Hallelujah.
He wasn't expecting that. She goes, oh my God. Just like that, she rose her head, oh my God. And everybody's looking. She jumped into the car, turned around and parked behind me. Folks, whenever the hard time comes, let's face it head on. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Let's face it head on. There's no reason to be changing church.
Amen.
Or driving all over town looking for somebody to give you a prophetic word. That's the prophetic word.
Amen.
Keep your head cool.
Amen.
Stand firm. Resist him.
Together.
The best of all, keep a firm grip on your faith.
Amen.
And let God do the rest.
Amen?
May God grant you lots of endurance.